Trump mobilizes shipyards to rebuild American naval dominance at sea. On August 13, 2026, President Donald Trump signed a National Security Presidential Memorandum directing the most sweeping restructuring of U.S. naval shipbuilding in over 80 years, including the establishment of a fifth naval shipyard, a full reorganization of Naval Sea Systems Command, and a shift away from failed next-generation technologies on the Navy's newest carrier class. The memorandum arrives as the White House simultaneously announced $927 million in planned construction spending on its own grounds, and a 100% tariff on drones above 25 kilograms and those with thermal imaging capabilities. Taken together, the three actions on a single day form a coherent industrial policy thesis. The U.S. government is moving aggressively to assert dominance across physical infrastructure, naval capacity, and airborne defense systems, with capital flowing in volumes that exceed any single peacetime precedent in recent memory. No named analyst quote accompanies the White House fact sheet. The document speaks through directives alone. The stakes extend well beyond the Pentagon's procurement calendar. For institutional capital positioned in U.S. defense primes, shipbuilding contractors, and maritime supply chains, the August 13 memorandum represents a structural shift in government demand, not a one-cycle appropriations bump. The question is not whether defense spending rises. It is which parts of the industrial base capture the durable cash flows. The fifth shipyard and the NAVSEA reorganization. What the directives actually say, the memorandum directs the Secretary of War to establish a fifth naval shipyard, the first the United States will have opened in over 80 years. The directive pairs that order with a second, the creation of a component repair center capable of servicing critical components across all current major submarine programs. The source text does not disclose a construction cost, timeline, or designated location for the fifth shipyard. Those terms were not made public in the August 13 fact sheet. What the fact sheet does make explicit is the diagnosis driving the directive. The White House cites chronic backlogs across six major Navy shipbuilding programs, attributing the delays to overly complex designs, iterative design change procedures, cost growth, and an atrophied supplier base. The reorganization of Naval Sea Systems Command, also directed by the memorandum, targets those structural failures at the program management level. Our view, NAVSEA reorganizations have historically preceded large contract restructurings. A full review, reform, and reorganization of the command that manages Navy ship acquisition means existing program office structures, contracting vehicles, and cost-plus arrangements will face scrutiny. For investors holding positions in primes that rely on legacy NAVSEA contract structures, this is not a neutral event. The memorandum also directs the replacement of the Advanced Electromagnetic Aircraft Launch System and the Advanced Weapons Elevators on CVN-81 with traditional steam and hydraulic systems. This is a direct reversal of technology decisions embedded in the Ford-class carrier program and signals that the Pentagon is prioritizing operational reliability over capability advancement on the next hull. The decision to replace AACLS and AW on CVN-81 with proven steam and hydraulic systems is the single most consequential engineering directive in the memorandum. It defines a technology boundary. Next-generation systems that cannot deliver on schedule get replaced, not debugged. The Finland model, foreign capital enters U.S. Shipyards, the most structurally novel element of the memorandum, is the directive to pursue what the White House calls the Finland model for direct investment in the American shipbuilding industrial base. The model was first used with the Coast Guard's Medium Icebreaker program, according to the fact sheet. The mechanism works as follows. Foreign shipbuilders that make substantial and durable investments into U.S. shipyards and train an American workforce will receive temporary permission to build up to two ships in their parent shipyards abroad, delivering those vessels to bridge capacity gaps quickly, while additional ships are built in the U.S. Yards they have funded. Terms governing what qualifies as a substantial and durable investment were not disclosed. The number of foreign partners eligible or targeted under this framework was not specified in the source text. The implication is significant. This is a structured foreign direct investment incentive attached to a defense procurement outcome. It inverts the standard domestic content requirement model by leading with investment obligations rather than leading with production restrictions. For sovereign wealth funds, Japanese shipbuilders, South Korean yards, and Nordic maritime conglomerates, the formula offers a path into U.S. naval supply chains in exchange for capital deployment on American soil. The White House had previously engaged South Korean counterparts on related matters. A fact sheet from October 29, 2025, referenced billion-dollar deals concluded during a state visit to the Republic of Korea, though specific shipbuilding terms from that engagement were not detailed in the August 13 source text. The $9 billion Arctic bet and the Working Families Tax Cuts connection, the August 13 memorandum, does not exist in isolation. The White House fact sheet places it inside a timeline of escalating maritime commitments. Working Families Tax Cuts legislation included nearly $9 billion to fund construction of a series of heavy, medium, and light Arctic security cutters. In October 2025, a presidential memorandum authorized the construction of up to 4 ambulatory surgery centers abroad to address urgent national security needs in the Arctic. In February 2026, the White House released its Maritime Action Plan, which broadened the definition of the maritime industrial base to include commercial shipbuilding, defense shipbuilding, component supply chains, ship repair, marine transportation, port infrastructure, and adjacent workforce development. Caption: White House Maritime Policy Actions, April 2025 through August 2026. Dollar figures sourced from White House fact sheets. The $9 billion Arctic cutter figure is the only hard capital commitment disclosed across these actions. All other investment magnitudes were not specified in the source text. The $927 million White House overhaul, a parallel capital flow with accountability gaps the same day the Navy memorandum was signed, reporting from the Washington Post, cited by crooks and liars on August 12, 2026, detailed a separate and substantially larger capital deployment. At least $927 million in planned construction spending on the White House grounds itself, routed through an account called White House Repair and Restoration. The account normally receives $2.5 million annually from Congress. The administration directed $875 million into it, drawn from three streams, $500 million transferred from the U.S. Secret Service and the White House Military Office, $305 million in private donations, and $70 million from a source the confidential records do not identify. Sarin Lindgren Savage, Counsel for Protect Democracy, told the Washington Post, "That is incredibly unusual. Donors to the private funding stream include Amazon, Lockheed Martin, and Google, who may contribute anonymously under the contract and face no conflict of interest review, according to the Washington Post's reporting as cited by crooks and liars." A federal appeals court ruled last week that Trump had exceeded his authority by proceeding without congressional approval. Trump stated on Truth Social he would immediately appeal that ruling to the Supreme Court. Joe Carlisle, who served as an associate director of the Office of Management and Budget under President Joe Biden, said, "If the executive can do anything they want with appropriated funds, then the executive can do anything they want, period." The implication for institutional investors, Lockheed Martin appears on both sides of this ledger. It is a likely beneficiary of expanded naval procurement directed by the August 13 memorandum, and it is simultaneously named as a donor to the White House Construction Fund under terms with no conflict of interest review. That dual exposure creates governance optics that compliance-sensitive limited partners cannot ignore. Investment positioning, where institutional capital moves next the August 13 memorandum, creates demand signals across three distinct investment buckets. Naval construction primes capture the most direct upside from the Fifth Shipyard Directive, the CVN 81 system retrofit, and the Submarine Component Repair Center. The retrofit away from AECLS and all benefits contractors with steam and hydraulic system expertise over those who built the next generation alternatives. The Finland Model Framework opens a second bucket, foreign strategic investors seeking U.S. defense market access. The structure rewards upfront capital commitment with production rights and should attract interest from South Korean and Japanese yards already operating at global scale. Supply chain and workforce infrastructure form the third bucket. The February 2026 Maritime Action plans explicit inclusion of component supply chains, port infrastructure, and workforce development broadens the investable universe beyond hull construction into logistics, training, and materials. The drone tariff action signed the same day reinforces a cross-sector theme. The administration is using trade barriers and procurement incentives simultaneously to redirect production back to domestic or allied supply chains. The 100% tariff on drones above 25 kilograms and those with thermal imaging compounds the cost of Chinese-sourced unmanned systems and rewards domestic drone manufacturers building at those specifications. The Plaquemium view the market will read August 13 as a defense spending headline. That reading undersells the structural shift and oversells the near-term cash flow. The Fifth Shipyard Directive is a 10 to 15-year capital commitment, not a fiscal year appropriation. No site has been named, no budget disclosed, no contractor selected. The NAVSEA reorganization, historically, precedes 18 to 36 months of program turbulence before new contract structures stabilize. Investors pricing in immediate revenue acceleration to existing primes may be ahead of the cycle. The Finland model is the more interesting near-term trade. It creates a defined mechanism for foreign capital to enter U.S. defense infrastructure under government sanction. That is a new asset class formation event for cross-border private equity and infrastructure funds. The first foreign shipbuilder to execute a qualifying investment under this framework will set the valuation benchmark for all subsequent entrants. The $70 million of unidentified funding in the White House construction account is the governance wildcard that no institutional mandate should dismiss. A federal appeals court has already ruled the executive exceeded its authority on the broader construction program. If the Supreme Court narrows executive discretion on appropriations transfers, the same legal logic could constrain the funding mechanisms behind maritime and naval investment commitments that are not yet backed by explicit congressional appropriations. That is the second-order risk the naval shipbuilding bull case has not priced. Plaquemium's thesis: the durable opportunity is in supply chain and workforce infrastructure, not hull construction primes. The policy framework is now persistent across executive orders, presidential memoranda, tax legislation, and an NSC office dedicated to maritime capacity. The bottleneck is not political will. It is welders, machinists, component fabricators, and port capacity. That is where patient capital with a 5 to 10 year horizon should position. The bottom line trumps August 13 memorandum. Commits the United States to its most ambitious naval industrial reconstruction since the Second World War, anchored by a fifth shipyard, a reorganized NAVSEA, a technology reversal on CVN 81, and a foreign direct investment framework modeled on the Coast Guard's icebreaker program. The nearly $9 billion in Arctic Cutter funding and the February 2026 Maritime Action Plan confirm this is a multi-year capital program, not a single policy statement. The simultaneous 100% drone tariff signals the same industrial policy logic applied to unmanned systems. For institutional capital, the primary risk is governance. $70 million in untraced White House construction funding, a federal appeals court ruling against the administration on appropriations authority, and anonymous corporate donors with billions in federal contracts sitting inside the same ecosystem. The shipbuilding bet is real. So is the rule of law variable attached to it.